Today's scripture is going to be found in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. That can be found on page 833 in your pew Bible. Or if you're in your own using your own Bible, Luke 2, I invite you to go ahead and find that and just hold your spot. I invite you to stand, if you can, in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel this morning. Luke 2. Now every year his, referencing Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival ended and they started to return home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, and help us to focus on the message you have for us here today. Amen. This passage, along with every other passage, experiences a variety of different translations. The one I just read from, the NRSV, says, "in my father's house," but if you'll notice, it, or at least in mine, it has a little mark, and underneath that it says, "or about my father's interest." But my favorite translation for this specific verse is the New King James Version. I want to read that to you. It says, verse 49, "And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?'" About my father's business. When I entered into college, I knew I was going to teach. I knew I was going to coach. I hoped and I prayed and I dreamed that it would be at Burns High School, where I grew up. And every time somebody said, "What are you majoring in?" and I told them, I received these words, "Well, of course you would. That is your family's business." I knew that one day I was going to be an administrator and had just finished the degree to become one with my master's in administration and leadership. And I knew that at some point I wanted to be a principal of an elementary school. I received these words when I shared that with people. "Of course you do. That is your family's business." Oftentimes I would hear these words: "What you just did reminded me of your father. The way I taught, the way I coached, the way I got angry when I was coaching, the way that I celebrated while I was coaching." People would say, "I don't know what it was, but the mannerisms, the way you did that, the look on your face reminded me of your father." I was once going to a baseball camp at Louisiana State University, 13 hours away from home in Baton Rouge. I got off the little bus that they used to take us to the field, and I was going to have a good time. I was going to misbehave. I was going to do all the good things that young boys should get to do without their parents finding out. The first person that got off the bus pulled me, well, I got off the bus. The first person I saw when I got off the bus pulled me aside, said, "Young man, where are you from?" I said, "I'm from South Carolina." He said, "Do you by chance know a man named Ott Sizemore? You look just like him." I said, "That's my father." He said, then you stick with me all weekend. I had very little fun. And I did not get to misbehave one time. I wasn't going to share this story, but as we sat and ate barbecue yesterday after a specific event in the middle part of our state that we were coming home from, we were sitting in this same barbecue restaurant, and the story was told to my little boy that there was once a time when one of my friends got stuck in the bathroom at this barbecue house because the door would jam. And he thought I was holding the door shut, but I wasn't. I was sitting at the table laughing. This was pre-cell phones, y'all. This is back that if you had a cell phone, it plugged into your car, and it cost $20 to even mash a button. When I got home, my dad said, why were you misbehaving in the barbecue house? That wasn't me. That was him. He said, somebody called, said, I knew you wouldn't want your son behaving in that manner. I could never escape my family business or the fact that I look like, talk like, and act like my father. A few weeks ago, I had the honor and the privilege of being the spiritual director on the Walk to Emmaus, which is a spiritual renewal retreat. And one of the pastors there came up to me after a very emotional and powerful part of our retreat, and I said, aren't you just amazed at what's going on? And he turned and he looked at me and he said, brother, do you not know that we're called to be about our Father's business? And that phrase has stuck with me since he said it. And so this just seemed to be the day to have that sermon. Would people be able to say that about you? Would people be able to say that about Emmanuel United Methodist Church? If they saw how you worked, saw how you acted, how you treated others, if they watched your social media post, went through your internet browsing history, if they saw the decisions you made when nobody was looking, would they say, that reminds me of your father? Heavenly Father. Would they say, I now see the resemblance. You look just like your father. So think back a year from now. Have your own personal charge conference. Have you grown in your faith at all? Think about our mission statement. Are you a better disciple of Christ today than you were a year ago? Have you spent more time being about your Father's business or more time complaining about the people that decided they would be about the Father's business? It's quiet in here this morning. Told Coach Moss, I didn't know if this was going to be a preseason kind of sermon or a playoff kind of sermon. It's playoff time. Things always get more serious in the playoffs. The second to last paragraph of that boring document that I started reading to you says this: with all the positive things happening in our church, we have good reason to be excited about what God is doing at this time. However, throughout this next charge conference year, we must be careful that we do not approach a place of complacency. It is very important that we continue to seek where God is calling us to serve within the community and within our church. It is easy in a time of continued change to cling to what is comfortable and familiar or to see resentment for new leadership ideas, and doing so would not only be detrimental to this church, but would also keep us from experiencing the fullness of God that He has planned for us. Thankfully, the bumps in the road since I've been at Emmanuel have been few and far between. 2018 promises to be another year, a wonderful year in the life of this church if we continue to live out our membership vows. our commitment to Christ, our call to ministry, laity and clergy alike, and our mission statement here at Emmanuel United Methodist Church. This is a sentence you will hear me say for a very, very long time. The lasting impact of 2018 promises to impact this church for years to come and could potentially be the most important year in the history of this church. Next December, see if that statement's not true. I wholly believe in my heart that 2018 will be the most important year in the history of this church, not this building, this congregation. That goes all the way back to Jackson Methodist. Some of you are confused. Wait and see what the Holy Spirit reveals in December of 2018. So those of you now, you're either a member, you're a regular attender, or you're a guest. If you're a guest, you're probably thinking, I'm never coming back. We'd love you to come back. I'm normally a really nice guy, and these people are wonderful people. If you're a guest, you're like, God, I actually like him, but I don't want to do this. This is crazy. But if you're a member, you took these vows. You made a vow before God and before one another that you would do all that you could in your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness at this church. And we've talked about that a lot this year, but let's talk about it one more time. If somebody sat in on your prayer life, would they say that you were about your Father's business? I heard on the radio this week that if God answered every prayer that you prayed, would anybody's life be changed other than your own? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? If God answered every prayer, would this church be transformed? Depends on if we're praying them. Let's be serious. It depends on if we pray them. It depends on if we're loyal to that vow to pray that the Holy Spirit would explode in this church and that revival would take place and that the walls of this structure could no longer contain the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, if he answers that prayer, it'll happen if we're praying it. Presence. This is the one y'all always feel good about because you're here. But how here are you? How present are you truly in worship? How present are you in opportunities to grow in your faith outside of 11 o'clock on Sunday? If people took your week and they looked at how much time you spent present in front of the Lord, would they say you were about your Father's business? It's getting quieter. Let's get to this one. It'll get real quiet. Your gifts. Your gifts. We got dreams this big and a budget this big. Some of you are getting real happy because you've been waiting on me to say something for a long time. We got goals up to here and a budget down here. So if somebody looked at your giving to this church, would they say you were about your Father's business? Your time, your talent, and your treasure. If you want to see how important the church is to you, think about how much time you spend trying to help it and trying to grow. If you want to see if serving Christ and being about your Father's business is important, how do you use the talents that he gave you? And if you want to see what's important to you, see if you're spending more money on useless things, football tickets, or if the thing that applies most to your budget is giving to the church. We talked about this on our Wednesday night prayer group, our Wednesday morning prayer group, that Christianity has become so comfortable we don't want to give till it hurts. We don't want to give to the point of it makes us uncomfortable. Service. I want to let you in on something that maybe nobody's told you before, and shame on every pastor that has never told you this. You're called to ministry. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, he calls you into ministry. And I know some of you are saying, no, that's your job. Go back and read the scriptures. My job is to equip you to go do ministry. It's clear. It's right there. Equip the saints. It's what it says for the pastoral leaders of that time to do. I don't want to hear, I did that 20 years ago, I've served my time. Did you wake up this morning? Then you have not served your time serving the Lord to the fullest. The day you don't wake up, your time is done serving the Lord. Witness. How's your witness for Christ? I'm not talking about going out and thumping somebody in the face at CVS with a tract. I'm talking about living like your Father. I'm talking about living in such a way that people look at you and they say, you're about your Father's business. We've got this concept in our society now, and we talked about this at our Wednesday Bible study. There's a big difference in being moral and being holy. You can be moral and not believe in Christ. Did y'all know that? You can be a good person and not believe in Christ. But once you believe in Christ, you've been called to be holy, set apart, sanctified, different. If somebody watched your witness, could they say that you were about your Father's business? Our mission statement at this church says, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ. Do you pray for more God's grace every day? Do you live in His grace every day? What about the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Do you pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you into being a more holy person? What about pursuing Christ? Chasing after Him so that we could look like Him to other people. To become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. The last paragraph of that boring document says this: as we begin a new church conference year, there's plenty of work to still be done. There are still plenty of people who need to experience God's grace and love. And who better to share that with them than Emmanuel United Methodist Church? My hope and my prayer is that we will continue to be people of grace. Continue to be people under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And to continue to be people who pursue and exalt Jesus Christ in all that we do and say. We have not even scratched the surface to what God is capable of doing here in this church. God is truly working in and through the lives of Emmanuel United Methodist Church and its members. And I am convinced that with continued hard work, dedication from all, trust in God's grace, that Emmanuel will continue to thrive and continue to grow in the years to come. You may say that sounds great, but do you really mean it? I'll tell you how much I really mean it. I put it in the official record that this church will keep forever. I submitted it to my boss and a record that will be held at the district office and then passed on to Walford College, and it will be kept forever. 30 years from now, somebody from this church could go and pull that file from Walford College or from the file cabinet upstairs, and that letter's in there permanently. I don't know if you noticed the song playing during the video, but the name of the song is Different by Micah Tyler. It says, I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you can move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plans for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright that the whole world can see that there's something different. So come, Christ, Holy Spirit and be different in me. When somebody joins this church, they make those vows. But guess what y'all do? Y'all do too. Here's what it says. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant. Do you know the difference between a covenant and a saying? That's another sermon. Faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now let's do something else. Grab your hymnal and turn to page 402. So how will people know we're about our Father's business? Look at the verses of our closing hymn, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to be more loving in my heart. People will know we're about our Father's business based on how we love. Lord, I want to be more holy. People will know if you are about your Father's business based on your amount of personal holiness. Here's how people will tell. This is the easiest way for people to tell whether or not you and all of us are about our Father's business. Lord, I want to be like Jesus. That's how we change the world. Let's be about our Father's business in all that we do.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.